Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. You may have heard this week that St. Louis was relieved to learn it no longer led the nation in STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, as it had for a decade. Then we were told there was a mistake and that, in fact, we have retained the top spot. It's a distinction no community wants, but why has St. Louis been so prominent in the STD rankings, and what can be done about it? Joining us in studio to discuss it are Dr. Brad Stoner, Medical Director of the St. Louis STD HIV Prevention Training Center. He is also an Associate Professor of Sociocultural Anthropology at Washington University and of Infectious Diseases and Internal Medicine at Washington University School of Medicine. Maheen Bukhari is Program Manager with the Communicable Disease Division of the St. Louis Health Department, and Dr. Faisal Khan is Director of the St. Louis County Health Department. Thank you all so much for being with us. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Dr. Stoner, let me begin with you with a basic question. Why is it that year after year we're at the top of the heap in this STD situation?
Well, it's disconcerting, Don, but part of it is an artifact of how the cases are counted. As you know, St. Louis City is jurisdictionally separate from St. Louis County. So when you look at cases and case rates in the city of St. Louis, they're always going to be higher than they would be if you included the county or the wider population area. If you were to look at our community as a city-county cooperative, as probably we should be, and as many other cities in the U.S. Are, then we're right in the middle of the pack. So some of this is an artifact of how the numbers are calculated.
We run into this a lot with all sorts of statistics, this problem with the way things are counted. Maheen, how bad is it in the city?
So we actually see quite a few HIV STD cases, and our staff works primarily on some of the programming involved in prevention. So what can we do to educate? What can we do more to spread the messaging out about testing and information on where people can get their resources? It's really all about getting people connected to those resources.
Well, are there numbers that you can give us to give it some indication?
We primarily are looking at some of our HIV numbers when we're doing our program planning. We really try to focus in on areas that maybe need a few more treatment centers and facilities, and really just kind of focus on how can we get some of that messaging to those communities.
But we don't know how many people are suffering from sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, I think Dr. Stoner can probably advise us on that. He's got his printout
right now. I did bring some numbers.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Well, I mean, just if you take gonorrhea as one example, the St. Louis City had 2,300 cases of gonorrhea last year, and St. Louis County somewhat more, 2,600 cases. If you put them together and look at the entire population of the area, it really does put us in the middle. It's not to say we don't have a lot of disease. It is to say that if you just focus on the city, it magnifies the scope of the problem beyond what it really should be. So I'd like to get more resources available for the people who need them, but to focus on the city and say it's solely a city problem, it's not. The diseases don't stop at Skinker, as I think Dr. Khan has often said, that they do cross over from city to county.
You mentioned gonorrhea. What about chlamydia and syphilis, the other biggies in this
So area? Chlamydia, we also are, we have high rates of disease there, again, if you look at the city-county combined figures, we're sort of in the middle of the pack. And then if you look at what's called the metropolitan statistical area, which takes into account some of the more peripheral counties, Franklin County and Jefferson County, but also in East St. Louis, Illinois, and surrounding counties, our rates are actually much lower. Mm-hmm. So it is a problem. It is concentrated in urban centers, but I think it's artificial to focus just on the city.
Dr. Khan, is there a profile of victims of these diseases?
Yes and no. I think work is ongoing in that regard. But if I could just piggyback onto Dr. Stoner's last remark, I think the regionalization of this issue is a practical need. It's, in fact, an existential need in terms of addressing this issue. We will only make progress if we go beyond the immediate statistical categories and the rankings, etc. These diseases have no geographic boundaries. They are all over the region. In 2015, we were faced with much the same picture. So this ranking that we were talking about, you know, St. Louis being ranked consistently number one in the country, has been around for the better part of 10 years. Yeah. And Brad and I have had numerous conversations about this. In 2015, I reached out to my counterpart in the City Department of Health, Commissioner Melba Moore, and we decided that, you know what, we need to educate both the media and the general public about the fact that this really is a regional issue. And we received very strong support from County Executive Stenger as well as Mayor Francis Slay's office at the time, and that support has been ongoing with Mayor Lida Crewson's office as well. They issued a joint press release for the first time in the history of the two entities together to emphasize this issue. We're only going to be able to address this, as Maheen pointed out, with strong prevention-based programs that focus on educating and empowering people with the knowledge and the skills necessary to prevent getting this disease. We will never be able to do anything else to stem this tide.
I want to get back to the profile in just a second, but I was under the impression that St. Louis City and County were cooperating, and, you know, as first steps in trying to get together a little
absolutely
bit more in the health area.
Yes.
And this is one of the things.
This is one of the major areas of cooperation between our two departments. And as far as public health is concerned, we really have a seamless integration of operations between the two departments. Mm-hmm. So the city and the county boundaries don't really mean anything in terms of public health issues.
Now to the profile, if I may. I'm asking this for a specific reason. My guess is that you said yes and no to the profile issue.
Right.
Why don't you explain that?
Well, no, primarily because we don't have enough information to characterize what is going on in the St. Louis region. We have a lot of information. What we do know is that young African-American females between the ages of 15 to 19 are primarily affected by chlamydia. We do know that young black men and middle-aged black gay men, for example, are particularly vulnerable to syphilis and HIV in this region. Those are not shocking statistics or pieces of information on their own. They're pretty much consistent with what is being seen in most metropolitan areas across the country. But there are tiny slivers of subpopulation groups, high-risk behavior groups that have not been studied enough. People who generally do not rise to prominence but are playing a role in the spread of diseases.
Maheen, we talk about education. How do you educate this population?
It's really it's oddly simple because we need to just go out and meet the community where they are. Mm. We have a program that we are just in love with, specifically at the city, called Fade Out HIV, where we actually go into the community, barbershops and beauty shops, and we educate the actual beauticians and barbers there, and we talk to them about how to stay safe, where to find resources, where to get people connected into care, because they can have those same conversations with their clients. They can spread the words out because they actually are some of the biggest advocates for their community. So we make sure to start with smaller groups and expand outward. And really going back to sort of meeting the community where they are, finding ways to meet some of those other gatekeepers and bring that conversation exactly to the neighborhoods, to the parks, to where the people congregate.
Yeah. You've mentioned HIV a couple of times, and that's been sort of under the radar lately. At least it has, I think, in terms of the general public. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
You know, I think some of the messaging fades in and fades out, similar to how some of the STD messaging fades in and fades out. You know, we always see the conversation peak around this time of year when we hear about our numbers, but we're constantly sending that message all across the St. Louis area. You had previously asked about how the county and how the city are sort of collaborating and what that really looks like. And Dr. Khan is absolutely right that it really is just this seamless measure of messaging where the county, I know, has a great website, Get Tested STL, and we also have stlcondoms.com. We're sending that very similar message of, you need to get tested, you need to know your status, and we have the resources here in the area for you to get that taken care of.
We'll put links to those websites on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Dr. Stoner, what about HIV? I mean, it's certainly not what it was 20 years ago.
No, and it's been terrific for patients who are affected by HIV, the almost miraculous advances in treatment for HIV. But I think that as we have more people on treatment and as the treatment has gotten better in terms of prevention for HIV, perhaps some people are letting their guard down with regard to the other STIs. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the context of the rising rates of syphilis that have really gone up, particularly among people who are HIV infected.
Syphilis is the real bad boy in all of this, isn't it?
Syphilis is a bad disease. It has a lot of long-term complications, and fortunately, it's completely curable with penicillin. But we have to get the medicine into the people who need it. So finding the people who are infected and getting them treated is a difficult task sometimes.
But Dr. Khan, and that's something that it's almost ironic that dealing with these diseases is relatively easy in terms of treatment, isn't it?
You're absolutely right, Don. And the one thing I would like to emphasize to anyone listening is that prudishness and reluctance and ignorance are not the way to deal with this. Mm-hmm. We need to get beyond our stigma, our mental barriers, our hang-ups. We need to be having conversations around the dinner table with family members and loved ones about the dangers posed by STDs. We need to have school nurses and curricula in schools discuss these issues in a meaningful, skills-based manner. There is nothing immoral about preventing disease. The fact is that there is a preponderance of evidence to suggest that strong prevention programs do not promote any promiscuous behavior. So all those hang-ups from the 50s and 60s need to give way to sound public health programming.
Well, the problem with having these conversations is that it's talking about sex.
And, absolutely.
We don't talk about that a lot.
Well, you know, everybody loves babies, but nobody wants to talk about sex. Right. We need to get beyond that because we are number one in the nation, as you said.
Dr. Stoney, you're nodding in affirmation with it.
It's true, and I think doctors are you know, part of the issue that it's we're not taught well about sexual health interviewing in medical school. Doctors are afraid of offending their patient by asking them sensitive questions. And what we're trying to do is normalize the conversation around sex in the clinical encounter. One of the projects that we have at Washington University is a training program for clinicians, for physicians and nurse practitioners and physician assistants to try to get them to simply normalize conversations about sex in the clinical encounter. And it turns out people want their doctor to ask them these sensitive questions. They may be reluctant to offer that information, but when the doctor says, I have some questions I want to ask you, they may sound a little intrusive, but I ask them to all my patients. They're very important for keeping you healthy. Patients really do welcome that.
Maheen, now when you go out into the community, do you have difficulty because of this, of people's reluctance to talk about matters of sex?
There's always a little bit of that reluctance, but what we always see is that people really open up and kind of come out of their shells a little bit once we get the conversation going, once they realize how much it really affects not just them, but you know their families, their loved ones, and their neighbors as well. So we really see them open up once we get that conversation started and take it back to letting them feel more empowered about having these conversations.
We are talking about sexually transmitted diseases in our region today. We have to take a break. We'll do that now. My guests in studio are Dr. Brad Stoner, Medical Director of the St. Louis STD HIV Prevention Training Center. Maheen Bakari is Program Manager with the Communicable Disease Division of the St. Louis Health Department. And Dr. Faisal Khan is Director of the St. Louis County Health Department. Back in just a moment to continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer a tweet, it's at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Back to our conversation with Dr. Brad Stoner, with Dr. Faisal Khan, and with Maheen Bokhari about sexually transmitted diseases. What are the consequences of no treatment, Dr. Stoner?
Oh, where do I start? Chlamydia is the number one cause of tubal factor infertility in women. So untreated chlamydia leads to long-term infertility, chronic pelvic pain, ovarian abscesses, lots of long-term complications. Syphilis can spread to the brain, can spread to the heart, can cause a lot of serious complications, including vision loss, which we're seeing now in increasing numbers. And even gonorrhea can get into the bloodstream and cause serious complications.
We're hearing a lot about congenital syphilis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so congenital syphilis is something that really should never occur. This is syphilis in a baby born to an infected mother. And ideally, all of those women will be tested early in pregnancy and will be treated, and that will prevent the infection in the newborn. And unfortunately, we are seeing nationally increases in congenital syphilis, which is a failure really to diagnose and treat syphilis in pregnant women.
Dr. Khan, we talked earlier about the treatment is actually fairly simple. Antibiotics basically get the job done. But I'm gathering also the simplest way to deal with this is just use condoms.
Yes. And to equip yourself with the knowledge and the skills necessary to negotiate safe sex practices, to protect yourself as well as your partner, and to keep your medical provider informed fully about what you're doing. They're going to treat you in a non-judgmental way and help you get the skills and the materials necessary to protect yourselves.
It's very simple. It's a very simple equation, isn't it? Where can people go to have the testing done? I mean, if they don't have, and we know that healthcare is a problem in some communities, if they don't have a doctor they go to regularly, are there programs out there, facilities out there in the city for places for people to go where they can be tested?
Absolutely. If we're talking about the city, we have a great partnership with St. Louis Effort for AIDS, Project ARC and The Spot, and Williams & Associates. And actually, with The Spot, individuals who are between the ages of 13 to 24 can absolutely access the resources there, and they have a number of other resources, treatment, and other programming for that particular age group. They can also access services within the county, head straight to North Central for STD treatment as well.
Dr. Khan, why don't you tell us about what's available in the county for health?
Oh, absolutely. We have a major STD clinic located at the North Central Community Health Center on Jennings Station Road in Pine Lawn. Just to give you an idea of how the burden of disease is impacting the St. Louis region, on most working days, we have to close patient intake around noon every day just to process the patients that have registered from 7 in the morning. And the demand on that clinic seems to be increasing, not plateauing out or decreasing. So that gives you an idea of just how great the need is. In addition, you can go to any hospital. You can go to any medical practitioner's office. You can even walk into an urgent care center and request testing. Begin by asking your medical care provider if you have one, or pick up the phone and call the health department closest to you, and we'll guide you to the closest site.
But this costs money, you know, to do that. And health care can be expensive, as we've all learned, certainly recently. Where does the money come from if the individual doesn't have it, Dr. Stoner?
Well, the county is fortunate because they have a health tax for it's part of the property tax burden for county residents. And in the city, it's difficult. I think it's the health department has to struggle to be funded for all of its operations, not just for HIV STD programs, but for pregnancy prevention and everything else that the city is doing to keep us healthy. So it is difficult. It's always a struggle. And we want to try to minimize those financial barriers for patients as much as possible.
But if I may just add, at the STD clinic and at the North Central Community Health Center, for example, no one is turned away because they're unable to pay. Payment is obtained on a sliding scale basis. If you're insured, your insurance company will cover it. If you have no insurance, walk in, and we will accommodate you one way or the other, or we'll find the resources to get you the help that you need. The important thing here is to remember that there are funds flowing in from the federal government, from the state government, and from municipal entities towards this effort. And this is the picture nationwide. Obviously, some municipalities and localities have more resources than others. But as I mentioned earlier, this is a regional issue.
Yeah. Is there federal funding involved with any of this?
Oh, yes. There is a relatively tiny amount of federal funding that comes our way by through the state. It's to the tune of some $120,000. It's not much. It's a drop in the bucket. We could use a lot more, quite frankly, but that is not something that we seem to have a decision in.
And of course, yeah, and of course, it's always unpredictable year to year.
It is,
what's
very
going,
much
what's
so.
Going to come in. Maheen, are there any programs for the distribution of free condoms?
Yes. So our condom distribution program through stlcondoms.com locates all the various sites that we have throughout the region. So again, with our partnership with the county and several of our neighboring counties, you can locate from your phone even all of the local condom distribution sites. So those could be local businesses like those barber shops, bars, tattoo salons, drop-in centers, or it could be some of our partner agencies, the county health department, some of the agencies I mentioned before where you can get tested at for free, a number of other local clinics and federally qualified health centers.
We have a lot of information to put on our website for folks can follow up on some of these discussion points. We have a caller here who has a question that I think is a pretty good one. So let's bring in David. He's calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, David. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, at what age do you recommend talking to your children about STD prevention?
Thank you, David. Dr. Stoner?
Oh, you know, I think as early as possible when you start talking about where babies come from, I think it really should be part of the conversation that it's not a risk-free activity and that this is something that really needs to be put into a larger context. There's a national movement now called the sexual health movement, and it's really a part of it's embedding STDs really within a larger conversation about how healthy sexual relations are part of the normal lifespan. So I don't know what the experts say about the minimum age, but certainly before they become sexually active, as early as 6 or 8, I think would not be too soon to really talk about sex as part of the normal healthy lifestyle of people.
Speaking of age, perhaps Dr. Khan or Maheen can tell me this, or perhaps Dr. Stoner, what is the youngest victim of these diseases you've ever encountered?
Oh, gosh, 8, 9 years old.
Incredible. Maheen?
Yeah, I think yeah. Probably around 8 or 9. That's the earliest that I remember, at least.
That's a pretty startling situation. The sex education in schools is a subject that we talk about from time to time. Dr. Khan, you have a big smile on your face. Are the kids getting enough of it in the schools, or has that been just stopped pretty much?
Well, it's a mixed bag. Yeah. And, the arc really is tied to politics in the United States, yeah. As you well know. In the mid-2000s, as I recall, our colleagues at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, for example, were prohibited from using the word condom in any of their presentations. That was the state of affairs. I'd like to say progress has been made since, but, it's always 2 steps forward and 1 step backwards. In the St. Louis region, we're probably no different to many other metropolitan regions in that we have good areas and not so good areas. A shining example of how success ought to be replicated is the Jennings School District. And Dr. Stoner and his colleagues at Washington University, Dr. Katie Plax and her team at the SPOT clinic that Maheen was referring to, that stands for Successful Prevention Opportunities for Teens. That is the way things ought to be, to provide clinics, provide medical services in a wholesome manner, right where they're needed most. And so they located a clinic, get this, in the Jennings High School. And you know what it did? It took care of all the medical needs of the students in a wholesome way, in a non-threatening, comfortable, confidential way. And you know what else it did? It resulted in an elevation of their academic scores. So, yes, we can make a change.
I can only imagine what trying to do something like that in some of the more rural areas of the state, and even right. Some of the areas within the sound of our voice here, what kind of a reaction to get to that?
Absolutely. And
big stop sign.
Absolutely. It's a shining example, which is why I said, really, the only roadblock to progress on this is our own reluctance and our own prudishness and stupidity. Mm-hmm. And we need to get beyond that because we are drowning in STDs.
Dr. Stoner, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I mean, it's part of the larger issue about health care and where people should get health care. I think if you look internationally, countries that provide school-based care have greater sexual health outcomes, but also higher levels of vaccination, which is also, it's part of wellness. And Americans, it's just difficult to find, as you said, Don, go to the doctor, it can get expensive. So I think school-based services is really a tremendous step forward.
Maheen, anything you'd like to add to this part of the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing spikes in STD rates, especially among the youth. So really, if we're able to talk to them at this age, they're hopefully going to be able to carry some of that knowledge and some of those prevention efforts forward with them too.
Well, you say go to where they are, and certainly the schools are where they are. So that's a good place to start when you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me. Our time is getting away from us here. I'll go across the table here and just put a bottom line to this, if you would, Dr. Khan, from your perspective. What do you want the takeaway of this discussion to be for our listeners?
Prevention isn't just better than cure; it's cheaper than cure. And education isn't just power; it is a defensive shield to protect yourself against diseases.
Dr. Stoner.
I agree with that completely, and I think STDs are really a community health problem. They're not just an individual health problem. To the extent that we've individualized these as the responsibility of the individual, absolves the society, and I think we'll continue to have high rates until we focus more of our community effort towards it.
Maheen?
We will continue with our messaging for prevention efforts, and we want to make sure that we empower the community to really feel like they're making their own sexual health decisions and not someone else jumping in to make them for them or really sway them from the decisions that they want to make for themselves.
It's really an important subject, isn't it? Thank you all so much. Pleasure to meet you all. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.